This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, growth and hope. I'm Anna, and we're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in. Kia ora and welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Anytime Fitness in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Anna.
And this is Omri.
We're both senior peer support workers at Life Matters and we'll be your hosts for this conversation about hope, healing and lived experience.
Wow, in the studio again, and today is a very exciting episode. We're talking with Karina from Ke Pikito Ora Collective in Southland. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming along.
Thank you.
Oh, kia ora whanau. Thank you so much for having me on board today. Really looking forward to our kōrero as well.
Yeah, and we had you at the Hope Centre, gosh, about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago now. Yeah, talking about bereavement and how we best can support staff and our processes amongst bereavement at the Hope Centre, which was a very valuable kōrero that we had. And yeah, really looking forward to expanding more on the mahi that you do. I'm wondering if you'd like to give us and our listeners an introduction to you.
Hi, Kate Pai. Ko waiau, ko hana nui te mauka, ko aparima te awa, ko takutai o te marae, ko kaitahu kāti māmoe waitaha oku iwi, ko takitimu te waka, ko Karina Davis Marsden toko ingoa. Kia ora whānau. My name is Karina and I'm the manager of Kōrari, the Māori Public Health Team, down here in the deep south of Mirihiku. I work for an organisation called Ngā Kite Mātauranga Ponamu Charitable Trust. Ngā Kite, we are actually in our 25th year of celebrating. Goodness. We are. Yeah, we're pretty big now. Yeah.
Awesome.
So we've gone from one kaimahi 25 years ago to coming up to 130 staff now.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, so pretty big mahi. Unfortunately, my work wife, Nadine, she's off ill today, so kia piki te ora to my work wife. I hope you get well soon. But the mahi that Nadine and I do in the Māori public health space is 80% centred around kia piki te ora all ages suicide prevention. We've seen quite a few changes with this contract within the last 5 years that Nadine and I have been involved in this mahi. It's gone from being with Ministry of Health to Māori Health Authority, even Suicide Prevention Office held this contract at one stage. So, and now it's back with, I think, Health New Zealand hold the contract. So it's a big takiwa, a landscape that we operate across. We are one provider in the deep south, but we our takiwa is all the way up to Oamaru, down south to Mirihiku, and then over to Central Lakes as well. So, yeah, it's kind of a big landscape to connect with everybody on. And how we do that is we visit organisations that are working alongside whānau who need some support in that prevention space, like yourselves, who provide amazing support options out there for whānau as well. So that can look very different in all aspects of that takiwa, big organisations, small organisations, whānau groups, Runaka-led groups, mana whenua groups, marae, the whole dealio. So which is pretty cool because there's a lot of cool initiatives out there for whānau to connect to as well. So I guess we can get into that more as well. But, yeah.
NDP. And it sounds, yeah, really hearing a lot of how vast of, yeah, as a landscape you've had, you've talked about distance-wise, but also the amount of times contracts have changed hands. You've really been steering a ship with a lot of change, a lot of uncertainty, and really sounds like you've expanded through that.
I think we've been really lucky to have, you know, from an organisational perspective of doing the mahi that we do in Ngā Kite Mātauranga Panumu Charitable Trust, our CEO, our pau, Whaia Tracy Wright Tafa, she helps us steer the ship at times, and she gives us the courage and the strength, the kaha, to stay focused on what we all want, which is better outcomes for everybody. And we want to see those statistics reduced as well. So while the contract is prevention, we operate in the postvention space as required. And, you know, and intervention as well. I don't think you could just align yourself to any one space. Me, myself, I've spent a lot of time in the mate space, in the space of bereavement and death, through my own lived experience. And it's hard for me to say this, but I do feel a sense of comfortability, I guess, in that space. So if in the postvention mahi, we walk alongside whānau at times who are bereaved, and yeah, unfortunately I have knowledge to be able to help assist them to do that, but that's life for us, isn't it?
I think that aligns with a lot of the work that we do down here. You know, it's unfortunate that we carry a lot of the knowledge that we do, but we're ultimately using it to create positive change and using it as a source of power, and gosh, what an impact it can have, hey?
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's beautiful mahi, and it's sad, and all of the things, you know. But I think none of us would do this if we didn't believe in what we were doing.
100%. And it's my understanding from doing a wee bit of research before coming on that Ngā Kite Mātauranga Pounamu Charitable Trust does more than just in the mental health space, right? It extends into health and social services too.
Yeah, so health and social services has been the core mahi of Ngā Kite for 25 years. We have our mahana, Southern Māori mental health and addiction services, to moderate mental health issues, and we have an office in Otipoti, as well as down here in Waihopai. So in Invercargill and Dunedin, we have clinicians and counsellors available, which is really awesome. And that service has expanded over time as well. We've actually just opened up a new centre here in Invercargill yesterday, a new site for us, which is so Ka Whetu Ora, which is a mental health day program. That is a centre that we've just opened up. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it to the Pōwhiri yesterday, as we run a Komatua program on Wednesdays. But I think that's going to be really impactful in our Pōwhiri as well. Another site that we have down here is Tūmanako Oranga. So our organisation purchased an old motel couple of years ago, and we've repurposed that so that it is a place where whānau can go for respite care, times of mental health despair, and to also help them detox from alcohol and drugs as well. So that's like nothing that I've ever seen before. It's really it's an actual motel, like the towels. There's like beautiful kai, and I know, it's so cool. I gave an example of it today. For instance, you know, sometimes our facilities are just so bland and, you know, They're just so clinical. And how do we expect people to actually get well when they're in that? So I guess an example of that might be that, you know, we receive a referral, the whānau member arrives, the whai ora, and they're like, well, actually, I can't come because I have a kuri at home, or I have a neru, I have a cat or a dog. Well, we say, kei te pai. You bring that kuri, you bring that neru with you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's part of your well-being healing journey, right, is to have, like, I mean, I know I finish work on a weekday and I go, I can't wait to get home to Biggie Smills. And I'm not talking about my husband. but, you know, those are part of our healing resources, our beautiful tonga of our animals, eh? Yeah. So,
and when we talk about meeting people where they're at, you know, if people are at with their animals, it's especially when I think about one respite and access to respite is difficult. So having more beds for that is amazing, but also that motel has more of it. It really spoke to me as a, hey, this is a getaway. This is an escape. Rather than, again, those clinical services.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in that setting, they also provide a nurse is on site.
Amazing.
We have counsellors on site. We have group therapies going on site, experiential learning activities such as art therapy on site as well. I hate to say it, but they've become really good cooks because we're all a little bit competitive in this organisation. So they are actually really good cooks as well. So Whānau gets some good kai.
Oh, amazing. That's it kind of makes me reflect on something, someone who was heavily involved with the trust in the past, like their dream, like, outlook for the mental health world would be that I'd be able to open this place of respite where people can come and stay, and it would be like an island retreat thing. And I feel like this is kind of falls along the same lines, and, you know, it kind of makes me realize what is actually possible, and this is possible, and it sounds really beautiful.
It is possible, and, you know, we're seeing the benefits of that now. It's been a really beautiful experience for those whai ora that have already been through that. And, you know, just to touch on the fact that we are Ngā Kite Mātauranga Panumu Charitable Trust, we are the mandated health and social services provider for Ōraka Parima Runaka, which is where I hail from, the beautiful Colac Bay, Ōraka and Riverton, Aparima. But our services are mandated, they're kaupapa Māori, but our services are for all. You know, these are the pō that we're steeped under. And we're guided by ka whitu, our those that have gone before us. You know, we're very lucky to have that, but we provide these services for all.
Amazing.
It's, good outcomes for Māori are good outcomes for everybody, and it leads on.
Aye, ka pai.
Thank you so much for that that introduction, and really gives a great overview of all that mahi that not only yourself but Ngā Kite does. So thank you so much. If we really jump in and find more about you and what you do specifically, our guests leave a question for the next guest on the podcast, and our last guest, Anytime Fitness, left the question: if you could dance in front of the mirror to any song, what would it be?
I dance in front of lots of mirrors all the time. So I'm a bit of an old school girl. So I wrote down two waiata that I really love, and I housework to them as well. To Wish Impossible Things by The Cure. I'm a massive Cure fan.
Amazing.
Sarah by Fleetwood Mac also. My OG friends would also suggest that I'm a bit crazy because I like to listen to a waiata called Doot Doot, because that's literally the words to the whole song. And that's by a band called, I think they're called Fruer, F-R-U-E-R. Like,
that's amazing. I love it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yay. Awesome answers. I mean, we've got a lot of, a good few questions that we would love to ask you about the mahi that you do. I mean, I first want to know what kind of animal Biggie Smalls is.
Okay, he's big on personality and not on stature.
Okay.
He is a rescue dog.
Yeah.
And he's a black and white border collie / Labrador. I wish he was a bit more Labrador because he's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
He's four.
Aww.
Yeah, so he's replaced the children that have moved out.
Yeah. We need someone to keep you company, you know.
Hi.
Cool. Yeah. See, we've got a few questions that we would love to ask you and kind of expand on and, you know, share with our audience. And the first question is, with community being at the centre of your work, how do you help facilitate connection in a time of hurt?
It depends on really where it is. I mean, for us, our hapori is so much more smaller down here. Everybody knows everybody, or everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. So I think for us, the first point of connection is always just picking up the phone, depending on who they are, just saying, what do you need?
Mm.
What do you need right now? What's going on for you? What support can we help offer to you? In times of need. And it depends on where that time of need is as well. Where are they in their journey in terms of what's going on for them and their whānau? It's really just a matter of reaching out and seeing what's going on, making the time for whānau, and don't make assumptions about what you think they need because it's sometimes you're well off the mark. So really you've got to whakarongo, you know, listen to what's going on, and without any judgment, just really listen to whānau.
I think a lot of assumptions can be made in various different stages of the prevention and the postvention space about what people need. But I know I've learned pretty heavily, and I'm sure you've learned too, Omri, the importance of not making those assumptions. Hey,
absolutely. And, you know, whānau are can be pretty quick to tell you, don't judge me like that.
Yeah.
I won't put up with it, you know. Yeah. So, just really listen to what's going on for them and what they really need. You know, sometimes whānau just actually need something like, well, we're having a tangi, so we've got no chairs. Can you get us some chairs? We've got 10 people staying in the house. We've got no mattresses. Can you help us get some mattresses? No problem. We've got no kai. Okay, cool. We're going to drop some kai off to you. Sometimes I might just say something like, actually, we don't really need anything right now. Okay, cool. How about I touch base with you in a few weeks and see where you're at then? Because I know that you have rangatahi and they might need a referral, or they might need some guidance with the impacts of what's happened and what's taken place. Ka pai. If you don't want to hear from me, ka pai, that's fine too. But, yeah, just make that connection really, isn't it?
I really love that point you make as well. You know, I found from my own experiences when you do lose someone in your life and everybody is there in the first immediate days, the first few weeks, and you know, life does go on for a lot of people and that support drifts off, and sometimes it's when that support starts to drift off that it can really hit and things become real.
Everybody's saying to you, let me know what you need, and sometimes you don't even know if people really mean it. You know, do they really mean it? I'm here for you. Are you really? You know, we all kind of question that. So, sometimes actually suggesting some practical stuff too, very helpful. I know from going to multiple tangi and tangi at people's houses, you know, at their own whare and stuff as well, just take some toilet paper, some coffee, you know, things like that can be really helpful too. Don't turn up empty-handed.
Suppose for like those big events like tangi and stuff, you know, they're often not really predicted, especially within the suicide space. And you're right, it could be a shortage of mattresses or a shortage of food because of that unexpectancy. And, you know, I really appreciate you're able to provide that support when it is needed.
Mm. Yeah, well, anybody can as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there's a, as you said, yeah, a lot in your mahi that is hard and a lot that is supporting others. And I'm wondering if there's anything that really excites you or invigorates you and keeps you invested in the work that you're doing.
Oh, well, what I could say recently is actually attending Polyfest and helping with Polyfest and seeing our rangatahi come through. We've got some amazing rangatahi out there.
Yeah.
It's a challenging time to be Māori now in this country, and it's a challenging time to be Polynesian. You know, it's a challenging time to be from Aotearoa, Katoa. So to go and witness these amazing rangatahi and tamariki getting on stage and just saying, ko wai o, this is who I am, and performing, and yeah, that's really uplifting. That's really reinvigorating for me to think about their journey through life and who they might become and what they might do. That's been an incredible experience that I throw myself at every year. So does Nadine. We both support the online production of Polyfest with our rangatahi leading out on the couch and interviewing whānau. And man, we've got the future's looking bright. If they're in charge, actually, you guys are rangatahi. So, you know.
Like, I'm slightly out.
I'm Justin.
Justin.
Yeah.
I know I'm way out. if these guys are our future, we're going to be in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And Polyfest this year was, I mean, one, amazingly organized, but the passion and the power that a lot of those groups have, and personally going to Trinity myself, want to shout out Trinity as well. It was, breathtaking, the passion that so many of the rangatahi had.
So ours was Mirihiku, and cool. Of course you guys had your, was it last week or the week before?
I want to say last week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then there's Central Lakes Polyfest coming up as well.
Yeah.
I think it's the 22nd, 23rd of October coming
about. Cool.
That's another, awesome, uplifting experience. I also am inspired by our kaumātua and their life experience, how they live their lives now, how they strive to support their whānau, the pearls of wisdom that they have that they drop on you at an untimely moment that makes you go, whoa, slow down, stop, think about what they just said, get on board. That's really inspirational as well. Very lucky.
I'm curious, not necessarily just yourself, but the organisation, what role does lived experience play?
Oh, if I could put a percentage, which I won't, on our the lived experience in all of our whare, because, you know, we've got a few whare and tari, that percentage would be very high in terms of the kaimahi that work in the mahi that they work in. Yeah, it's incredibly important.
I think that really speaks to the approach that as an organisation you have, again, when you talk about kaumātua, and let's listen and let's appreciate and respect the value that everybody brings, and really standing on the shoulders of the giants that have come before us, so the people after us can be standing on the current giants.
And we have a maumahara wall in our level 2 reception that reflects that. So we have our kaumātua up there on the wall, those that have gone before us, which is, you know, it's awesome to be under the korowai of their aroha. Yeah.
Amazing. It's really lovely to, you know, hear about the work that you do, hear about the work that your wider organisation does, and I think it's really powerful. And again, you know, putting you know, these things that may have seemed like dreams or thoughts years ago, like actually seeing them become reality is really awesome. And I'm looking forward to hearing a bit more from you. Before we do so, we will quickly jump to an ad break from our sponsor, Anytime Fitness.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being, and recovery. With three local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03 455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
And welcome back, and thank you, Anytime Fitness, for sponsoring our podcast. The mahi that you do in the community is great, and the fact that you are so accessible in Dunedin is fantastic.
Worldwide, apparently.
Worldwide.
I mean, I haven't been to an Anytime Fitness in any other country, but I've heard that they're everywhere, so well done.
Sounds like Anytime Fitness is the Pitbull of gyms. Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are still so grateful and, yeah, really have the privilege of having Karina with us. Yeah, to come along with us with our journey of today, and really wondering, again, we are dealing with suicide and bereavement and loss, and really giving a lot of ourselves in this mahi and care for others. And I'm wondering how you prioritize your own well-being in this line of work.
Oh, that's such a good question, isn't it? And I'm like, do I tell the truth?
Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, what I try and do is I try and really take really good care of myself. I am a gym goer, especially with the winter the way that it is, but I'm actually a paddler, so I paddle Wakaama.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I've been paddling for about 12 years now, and within the last couple of years, I've managed to suck my husband into purchasing a single waka for myself. So I just love the ripple of the water when you put that paddle in and when you exit it and then you drive back in. Mm. So Wakaama is so good for my hini naro. It just really, I can go out there and breathe and just let everything go. So that's really important to me. I'm also a harvester of titi. So I'm a mutton birder. Nice. In the Titi Islands every year religiously. And I bird where my tipuna birded. My mum and my grandfather and my dad was a birder when my parents met as well. So I've been really lucky to have that cultural harvest passed down from generation to generation. And, you know, sometimes when I'm really stressed out, and you know how we do breathing exercises and help settle us and stuff, there is a place that I go to in my head, and it's a track. And I won't tell you which track it is in case my nephews are listening and they go, that's my track. But there's a track that I walk in my head and I try and smell it and breathe it. And I look around on the track and I look for the manu, I look for the birds, the native birds that are there, you know, our kakariki, our tutukiwi, you know, and sometimes that just really can help settle me. Mm. And I think anybody who, you know, is going through maybe even just anxiety, not just anxiety, but experiencing something like anxiety or a bit of distress or, you know, like, am I really doing too much? Am I overthinking? I think it's really good for us to go, actually, what is a really beautiful place that I remember being at and being calm? And shall I take myself there now and take myself on that journey in my head? Mm. Yeah, that helps me.
Oh,
one other thing, there's a video, it's really, really old. It's a cat dressed as a shark on one of those vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
The vacuum cleaners?
Yeah.
Mm. Honestly, because sometimes, you know, when you're crying and you're upset and you're in grief. So when I lost my mum, I would, sometimes watch this video. I was crying, you know, and then I'm sitting at my desk and I go, right. So I put my shark cat video on and watch this, and it would just bring a little bit of joy. I don't know. Being a comedian for 30 seconds, pull myself together. Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's only natural to have those comfort videos or comfort shows or movies that you engage with.
What about you guys?
Oh, Omri.
I know, yeah, very much. I really like you talking about the, having that picture in your head. As someone who can't picture things, my visualization is a lot of words and scripts. A lot of it is talking to myself about, places that I've enjoyed because I can't see them physically in my head. But I have that script and that narrative that I can run through. And so, similar, but that different way of brains work differently. But video wise, I used to watch the same musical every night to help me go to sleep. And that was very much of a grounding. It's called Apocalypse Tour, which was a world tour of a musical theater company called Team Starkid. But it was kind of their top, artists in there, and they did a tour around America about the apocalypse. And I watched that every night for about a year and a half just to help me sleep and help ground myself.
Wow. How long did it go for?
The tour itself, I think, went for about a year, but the musical is a tight 120, 120 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's just a kind of a highlight of their greatest hits.
Yeah. Oh.
Amazing. You learn something new about you every day.
Yeah.
For me, I think an important part of my well-being, and especially through tough times, has been coming up with low maintenance hobbies and things I can do when I don't have a lot of energy, which especially through winter and the colder months is generally the case. I'm very much influenced by the seasons, and now we're coming into, we had a beautiful day here in Dunedin today. Very blue and sunny, but I'm very much influenced by the weather, and you know, now that the sun's setting a wee bit later, I'm feeling quite inspired moving forward. But for me, low maintenance things, like it could be colouring or it could be reading a book or maybe doing some gardening. And my inspiration to get back into the gym is peaking now again, like with the seasons, that motivation. I also think, regardless of the weather, but particularly in the warmer months, being outside and grounding my feet on the earth and sitting with some sun on my face. Been a big mission for me this year to solidify those self-care routines, but we're getting there.
It is so hard during winter too, isn't it? Because you hear the brunt of it.
I don't think you realize really how much of an impact it truly does have until this is my first year working full time, because I was at uni last year, and being in a stable routine working these days and having these days off and working a 9-to-5 general hours, like it's been, you know, it's really had its toll. And I know it's had its toll on a lot of people, but I know a lot of people are feeling optimistic moving forward into the nice weather. Hopefully we get nice weather. We can never guarantee down here. Cool. Yeah. I'm curious, over, you know, if we look at the next couple of years or further into the future, where do you see yourself or the trust's wider work going, or what do you see as possible?
It's like the mahi that we cover is very vast. And, you know, so we also have like a GP clinic as well, a pharmacy. So I would like to think and hope that we might be able to, you know, expand. If we go back before then, I'd like to think that our government would make it easier and offer more funding so that we could have more of those services available. We need more GPs, we need more health improvement practitioners, we need more health coaches, we need more nurse practitioners. I'd like to think that we could move into that space and grow it. in terms of the mahi that we do in this team, you know, one day we'd love to be out of a job. Mm. That's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that is possible, but it would be, it's pretty aspirational to think that maybe one day we could be, because our hapori is well and thriving, because that's what we all want, isn't it? And if that was to be the case, I'd just start making coffee again. I'd make a mean flat white. I don't know, maybe I'd be retired by then, have some mook upon it. I don't know.
Like you were saying before, the competition around Kai, you can really hone your skills and become number one.
Yeah,
well, I cook every Wednesday for our komatua, or with our team. So it can be pretty challenging. You know, that's Auntie blah, blah, blah doesn't like onions, and Auntie blah, blah, blah doesn't like garlic, and just doesn't like this, you know. So, cooking is pretty important in this organisation. In fact, so much so that we've started running a competition with our komatua program that we run. We've been getting teams from within our organisation to come along and cook for our komatua, and they judge it, and it's called My Komatua Rules.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
So what the komatua judge is the kai, the taste, the, you know, how it looks, the presentation. And then they have to provide an activity for the komatua to do as well. So we're talking 35 to 40 komatua. So, and then they judge. And so I think next week is our next team competing. And then we've got, we've only had, you know, a few done it so far. So, be interesting to see who wins at the end of the year.
I'm really seeing, how dynamic your team can be, and see a need, it gets filled, or start something for fun and see how we can develop this to bring purpose to people. A real creativity, it sounds like.
Oh, you've got to have fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, as an organisation. And Nadine and I created a fun day about 3 years ago. We started a thing called Double Denim Dock Day.
Oh, my gosh.
So you've got to wear double denim and you've got to wear docks.
Yeah.
And you bring... bring a kai to share, bring a plate, and we do a morning tea between our GP clinic, Hapuna Waiora, and our level two and any other sites that we have in Invercargill. And the idea was that, you know, yes, you dress up. It's about, because we're all Doc Martin lovers down here. Yeah. Who's a Martin lover itself, right?
If I could get my foot up there, I'd show you, but I can't quite.
Same. So it's about putting on your docks, wearing your double denim, bring a plate and bring a koha. And that koha goes to our GP clinic. And so if we've got, you know, patients that are struggling to pay their bill or their GP, or they might need a specialist appointment that, you know, it's not going to go through the public health system, it needs paid for, then that pūtea goes back into them, and that's a way for us as kaimahi to give back and have some fun.
Oh gosh, that's amazing, and I feel a lot of hope for what could be possible moving forward. As you said, I think the goal for all of us working within the mental health space is to ultimately be out of a job at some point, but gosh, so inspirational, and there is so much you could do, and it's generating possibilities in my mind about what we could do, but hey, who knows what the future is.
Really, like the whakaaro is, you get that thought and you go, oh, I just want to have some fun with this, like let's create something fun. And what we do very well here is there is a vast range of skills in this building, exactly like yours. We've got people who know how to do raranga, you know, they're weavers. We've got people who are artists. So we've got an amazing art therapy Arunui group. And they've just actually, that group has just run an exhibition of what they've produced. Obviously, there's cooks. Got some amazing cake bakers in the building. You know, there's so much talent. And let's utilize that. Yeah. Let's play to our strengths and let's go for it. One thing I also want to share is, you know, like our CEO, well, we're a vast organization. Her leadership style is you will see her in the kitchen doing the dishes and cooking it away. You'll see her, you know, on, you know, presenting and doing all things CEO. But you can find her anywhere, you know, if you are in that space with her. And that's an amazing leadership style to present. She'll just get in and roll up her sleeves and support anything. Yeah, and I think that's been really inspirational for us as wahine, Māori wahine especially, but just as kaimahi in general.
It does so much for team morale as well. If I had a boss in the States, Buttercup Kupferman, but yeah, he wouldn't ask us to do anything that he wouldn't be comfortable doing himself, and meant him with a butter knife going between cracks in the ground to get the moss and weeds out. But having him there rolling up his sleeves really meant, okay, no, there's no scrub work to do that. Yeah. It's just, oh, let's palm something off. It's no, hey, this is a community. We're all going to do this. Let's, lead as if nobody is watching, even though everybody is watching.
Yeah. And your tipuna are watching too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, I've really enjoyed the conversation that we've been having so far, and we've got a couple of last questions that we'd love to ask you. Before we do, we're just going to jump to another ad break from our sponsor.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being and recovery. With three local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03 455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Welcome back to the Hope Centre podcast. We're kind of reaching the end of the podcast now, and we want to say thank you so much to Karina for joining us today. Well, I've learned a lot about what you guys do, and I'm leaving feeling quite invigorated and inspired about what we can take forward. And, you know, the connections or the, I don't know, the work we can do alongside you together, it's really inspirational.
Kilda, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I was wondering if you have any quick final thoughts or messages that you would like to share for someone who might be listening to this and struggling.
Yeah, I mean, the immediate response, like probably all of us, is reach out, find a support that works for you. All supports align with who you are as an individual. So, you know, take your time, have a little research, but please do reach out to somebody that you think may be able to help support you on your journey to wellness. Don't beat yourself up. Stop reflecting. You know, stop beating yourself up in the past. Now is now, and you can move forward. I wish you well.
100%. Lovely words. Cool. So the way that we generally end our podcast episodes is we've got a final five questions. These are quick fire, short word answer questions. And then we will invite you to leave a question for the next guest. Cool.
Right.
Take it away.
Our first question is, what does well-being mean to you?
Te whare tapawha.
Yeah, those four walls, very important for maintaining well-being overall, yeah. Is there anything you do that brings you a sense of calm, balance or peace?
Cuddling dog. Cuddling my cootie, yeah, absolutely.
Cool. If you could make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
Oh, if I can make one rule. Go again, sorry.
Do you want me to ask the same question?
Yeah. Sorry, I missed you.
You're okay. If you could make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
That we would engage more in Te Ao Māori spaces.
Mm. Amazing. What would you tell your younger self now?
Actually, just what I just said before, mm-hmm. I'd stop filling myself up, stop feeling guilty, and just live in the now and get on with it. I also wish that I had really thrown myself at education a bit more when I was younger.
For sure. Cool. We're going to invite you to leave a question for the next guest. I think we know who this is, but it can be as bizarre as you want. Or is non-bizarre, it's up to you.
Okay. You have 10 people coming for dinner.
Mm.
What are you cooking for entree, main, and dinner?
Ooh.
What's your thing?
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Mm. Do you have an initial answer, Omri?
I would have to be a key lime pie for dessert. It would have to be.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, love making a key lime pie. I imagine... for main, I love, I do kind of a, like a lamb sandwich, you know, rosemary, garlic, get that lamb going. There's a really cool bakery in Dunedin that everything is sourdough, but they do a sourdough baguette.
Yummy.
Yeah, that's great. So toast that bad boy up and chuck some lamb in, some rocket, caramelized onion. We're away laughing.
Yeah.
And you can't beat some steak tartare.
Ooh.
Yum.
I'm surprised you had such comprehensive answers straight away because not a lot came to my mind. I think it's something I'll think about before the next episode, but my parents are very classic. Roast anything, roast lamb, roast chicken, roast pork. And it reminds me a lot about Christmas, and I think that's why I love Christmas, is I love the good food. So I would probably go something along those lines for a main, but I'm undecided about the others.
Mm.
Did you have an initial answer, Karina?
Yeah, I'm a pretty simple kind of girl.
Yep.
I was eti and crayfish, and I love a good pav.
Yum. Yeah, my mum makes a killer pav. It is so great. But again, it's one of those things that remind me of Christmas, so I would probably put pav on there. But
yeah,
I'll come up with some answers for next time. Cool.
Yeah.
We want to say a final thank you to yourself for joining us. We have loved having you on and look forward to connecting with you in some capacity in the future. I would like to thank Omri for co-hosting the episode with me today.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. We would like to thank ORFM, Life Matters, and the sponsor of our podcast, Anytime Fitness. Again, if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast or have any episode ideas you would like us to discuss, please reach out to admin@lifematters.org.nz. Cool. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
Ka kite.
Thanks for listening to our Hope Centre podcast. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact us at Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page. You can also contact us through our website. Just look up lifematters.org.nz. You can also drop in to see us at 63 Hanover Street. We're open every day except Mondays. From Wednesday to Sunday, we're open until 9 p.m. If you need support out of those hours, free call or text 1737. If you'd like to listen again or hear other episodes in this podcast, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.